broccoli, but I can imagine that there must be a lot of other nutrients in other sprouts. Maybe, I mean, are there any other studies off the top of your head?
We've had lots of research on alfalfa and red clover and the phytoestrogens and the health properties of those two sprouts. Lots of research on the broccoli sprout since the initial John Hopkins studies. So we've learned other disease-fighting properties on the broccoli sprout as well. And there are literally probably over 100 research projects and studies that are available on the internet. Lots of them are listed on our website. So, but some of the varieties of sprouts that are maybe a little bit more rare or I shouldn't say interesting, but things like green kale, or lots of times I have people ask me, well, what's the difference between the health benefits of broccoli and, say, a broccoli rabe or rapini? And again, we don't know as much about the health benefits of something like a broccoli rabe or a rapini because the studies just haven't been done yet.
What's a broccoli wrap?
Broccoli rabe is it's a rapini plant. It's the Italian, it's an Italian brassica plant, used lots in Italian cooking and also used in some Asian cooking. And so we have lots of people who are just wondering, well, what are the difference and what might the health benefits be in? And we know that there are health benefits. We're just not sure exactly what the disease-fighting properties are for some of the specific sprouts because we just don't have the research yet. But as I said, there's been a lot done in the past years and more coming out all the time. So it's exciting as we, learn more about these little plants.
Yeah, it kind of boggles my mind that the little baby ones could be have more nutrients than the full grown ones.
Yeah, well, it's pretty amazing, and it's mo I mean, when we look at lots of the nutrients in the sprouts, they're going to be quite a few times higher than the mature plants. So that's one of the if we take the broccoli sprout example again, you'd only have to eat a few tablespoons of broccoli sprouts a day to get the benefits that you need to start seeing the cancer-fighting properties. So it's pretty exciting.
Interesting. Well, so now I'm curious though, do you blend or juice your sprouts or do you, 'cause I eat low carb, so I don't eat sandwiches. I usually use sprouts either instead of lettuce or mixed in with lettuce as a salad.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do an entire sprout salad. Sometimes I'll have sunflower greens as my base with a few radish sprouts and broccoli or whatever I have on hand. So they're great as a salad base. I tell people that you can literally add them to any meal. So if you are eating sandwiches, I mean, obviously that's a great choice. You can, if you're someone who eats a soup, you might want to add a handful of fresh sprouts to that, and you can use. For example, if you were making a chickpea soup, you might want to think about using a sprouted chickpea or a sprouted lentil rather than a dry chickpea or dry lentil in those soups. You can make a raw hummus out of a sprouted garbanzo bean. So the options are just endless. Really, whatever you're comfortable with and whatever your diet is, there are going to be ways to incorporate sprouts really easily into that. So whether you're a raw foodist or whether you're someone who, eats a more traditional cooked meal, the possibilities are endless.
Awesome. Well, and you mentioned the sunflower sprouts, and actually, as I was going to tweet you, and I looked up Mum's Sprouts, and there was. Was a recall a while back, last year, I believe, because of now there weren't any reported illnesses because of it, but can you tell us because there are some supposed risks associated with sprouting, right?
Absolutely. Well, I'll just speak on that recall in particular first, and then talk a little bit about the risks of Salmonella and E. coli. We had a recall I think it was about just over a year ago now, of our small patches of sunflower seeds. CFIA does, it's a great service they provide. They do random checks of products on the shelves, and they had told us that there may be detectable levels of salmonella in our sunflowers, and we do, because there is a risk of salmonella in any fresh raw food. We always test our seed before we send it out, so we were a little surprised, but we wanted to be extra cautious, so we issued a voluntary recall of all of those seeds. And meanwhile, the CFIA was able to come in and run, I think they ran close to 80 tests on those seeds, and they all came back fine. But we were really happy to be extra safe and to just be extra cautious, because when you're playing with, when it involves health, it's always better to be safe. But yes, you're right, there is a risk of salmonella and E. coli in sprouts like there is in any fresh raw food. So quite often when I'm asked that question, people are wondering about the health benefits and they're wondering about the risks. And I always just say, listen to your body and listen to your intuition, because it's only some sprouting, and whether or not the health benefits outweigh the risks is something that only you can decide. We know a lot of health benefits exist with sprouts, and we know that basically all fresh raw food, because nothing grown in nature is going to be sterile, does have the risk of foodborne pathogens, that we need to bear that in mind and we need to take that risk seriously.
Well, and also when I was doing some research on sprouting, because I heard about the E. coli thing and all that, the risk of eating eggs is like to risk for E. coli. Right. And salmonella.
Right.
So, it's, you have to look at like any food you eat is going to have a potential risk of, like you said, foodborne pathogens.
Absolutely. Unless it's something that's been totally sterilized, but we don't want to be putting just only sterilized food into our bodies, in my opinion. So,
So in the scheme of things, you hear about sprouts with E. coli, but compared to other foods that are on the market, the risk is actually significantly lower.
From the data that I've looked at, yeah.
Okay. I just felt like it's important to mention the risk, but also that I don't want to blow it out of proportion. Okay, awesome. Well, I really love watching your videos because you show exactly how to do it. And I bought recently the little stackable white boxes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, maybe you can tell us a little bit of the differences of how you grow them. And what I love about it is I live, my place is pretty dark, so it's hard to grow plants. And my backyard has all concrete, so there's really not much space to be growing anything. And that's the beauty of sprouts, is that you can just do it in your kitchen and they don't really need very much light.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of the biggest questions I'm asked, is how people wonder if they have enough space on their windowsills or how much light these little sprouts need. And honestly, well, some of them actually, like a mung bean, loves to be grown in the dark, but in general, most sprouts need very, very little light and no direct sunlight. So we have, people who grow wonderful crops of sprouts and microgreens in basements and in all sorts of environments. So it's really versatile in that sense. But basically, in terms of how to grow, that's the beauty of it, is it's so easy. When you think of a sprout, so if we think of an alfalfa sprout or a red clover sprout or a broccoli sprout, those sprouts that are about five days of growing, and you eat the whole thing from the leaf to the stem to the tail, those can easily be grown in a mason jar or a sprouting tray, or even there are hemp sprout bags on the market. And regardless of what sprouting equipment you decide to use, whether it's a jar or a tray or a bag, the process is the same. You're just soaking the seeds and you're rinsing them a couple of times a day. And it takes about 5 days to turn one tablespoon of seed into about 4 or 5 cups of fresh sprouts. And then microgreens have become more popular in the past few years. And microgreens would be things like wheatgrass, sunflower greens, pea shoots, where they're growing for about 10 days, and you're going to harvest them, you're going to cut them at the base of the stem, and you're going to eat the stem and the leaves, but you would not necessarily eat the roots and the base of the plant. So those microgreens are typically grown just in a tray because they need to have the space to grow up and get really tall. So a jar a jar or a bag don't necessarily work as well for the microgreens.
Do you cover them? Because with the sprouts, like the ones that I'm growing, I have like, I think I have a mix of sprouts right now. And so when they're covered, they are sort of brown and white. And then what I'm doing is I take them out of the tray and I put them into like a clear plastic bin with a lid. And then the light gets into the bin and then they actually grow a little bit more and they get green.
That's exactly it. That's the way you want to do it. Starting them out, you know, with a cover on so that they can stay really nice and humid, exposing them to a little bit of indirect light, whether it's sunlight or whether it's some nice overhead lights. Then they'll get that chlorophyll and get nice and green. And you can play around with the amount of chlorophyll you want to expose them to. Like I had mentioned, you don't want to expose them to direct sunlight because that sun can just, it can damage the tiny baby plants. But you can expose them to more or less indirect light depending on how green you want your sprouts to be and how much chlorophyll.
So I'm curious, I actually got some kale from you guys, and on the bag it says that it's not for planting? I can't remember the wording it uses.
Yeah, not. We usually say that our seed isn't for propagation. We're specifically a sprouting seed and microgreen seed supplier, so there are a few other steps that garden. We test for certain things that garden seed companies and garden seed suppliers wouldn't test for, and they also would look at other properties in the seed that we wouldn't be looking for. So, for example, we don't necessarily look at weed seed count in our seed. So there might be a few weed seeds present in that seed. That's not something we necessarily look for or test for. So we just put that warning on there to say, hey, these are meant for sprouting and for growing microgreens. It's not to say that they wouldn't grow into a nice plant in your garden, but that's not necessarily what we're selling them for.
Okay. Well, I've been curious to see, because I tried to grow some kale, and I got it, like, the little baby seedlings, and then I moved it out. It's been much more successful with sprouts.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of growing sprouts and microgreens, is you don't really need to, I mean, people that have no gardening experience or don't necessarily think of themselves as having a green thumb, they can have, like, beautiful sprout gardens in their kitchen, and it's just lovely, and it's really easy, and quite often it's a transition, too, for people who are interested in gardening but don't have the space or the time or the, you know, the commitment to start a full garden. The sprouts and microgreens are a lovely way to, you know, to see that process of before their eyes, so they can really get a sense of what food production is all about.
It's so fun, and it's also great for someone like me who's really impatient, mm-hmm. because it takes a long time. If you plant something from a seed and you wait for it to grow enough that you can eat it, it takes a really long time. But sprouts, it's so quick.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like I said, most sprouts are done in about 5 days, and then you have some of the microgreens that take 10 days. But you also have some sprouts in about 2 days, three at the most. You're just waiting for the little tail to emerge. And so, I mean, that's pretty fast to have a nice crop of lentils or bean sprouts.
I need to try some more. I've tried kale and the broccoli mix and the sandwich mix,
mm-hmm.
which is my favorite one.
The sandwich booster is really lovely. Yeah, it's so fresh tasting, and that's actually it's one of our most popular mixes, and it's always what I tell people to start out with, because if you have kids or if you have anyone who is sensitive to stronger taste, it has such a nice mild fresh taste, and it tastes good with everything. So yeah, it's one of our favorites.
Yeah, that's what I noticed with the broccoli one. After I read that study, I ordered the broccoli, but the flavor, I mean, it actually tastes like broccoli, and that's not the flavor I want unless I'm actually eating something that looks like broccoli.
Right, yeah.
Which is why I asked you about juicing and blending, because I could see myself having, like, putting all the nutrients in and then just kind of shooting it in the morning rather than eating it in a salad.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, juicing sprouts or blending them, it's such a great way to get whole lot of nutrients in so easily, right? So you can whether it's I'd say that sunflowers, pea shoots, broccoli, and wheatgrass are the four most popular sprouts that we see people either juicing or blending. But I would say find something that you really like the flavor of, or that you're, you know, if you're looking for a specific nutritional property, grow those and then add them to a smoothie or juice them. And yeah.
So with wheatgrass, do people often eat the sprouts, or do they do the microgreen, like growing it like grass?
Most of the wheat that we sell, most of our customers are growing it into wheatgrass. We definitely do have people who are growing it into short sprouts and then making either a completely raw bread, or we do have some people who are making more of a traditional loaf of bread and throwing a handful of sprouted wheat berries in there. But like I said, most of the wheat that we would sell would be grown into a full grass and juiced.
Cool. Well, it is time for a break, so we'll be back with more Synchronicity in just a moment. Right now, we are speaking with Lisa Mum. She is from sprouting.org. That is the website, Mum's Sprouting Seeds. They're based in Canada in Saskatchewan. And if you want to get on the air and ask Lisa a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. And we'll be back with more Synchronicity very soon.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
212 Productions Limited, The Baker and the Chef, Bang on T-shirts, Bistrude Records, Dream Apparel and Articles for People, Dunleavy Snack Bar, The Fall Tattoo, Fortune Sound Club, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinemathic, Perch, Project Space, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Movies are a great way to understand the culture and thought process of a generation. And the 7th Annual Taiwanese Film Festival is taking place at the Downtown Vancouver International Film Center from June 14th to 16th. It will be featuring some of the best Chinese films from the small island of Taiwan. Come and experience the different world and get to know more about the many groups of people living in this awesome city. For more details, please visit twff.ca. Again, that is twff.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking with Lisa Mum. She is from Mum's Sprouting Seeds, and you can find them at sprouting.com, www.sprouting.com. And if you want to get on the air and ask a question about sprouts and sprouting, give me a call, 604-822-2487. I found these sprouts at the wellness fair a few months ago, and I bought them, and I've been sprouting ever since, and I love them because, well, it's lots of fun, and you get to watch. I love what you said about if you have kids, like this is something that's a really fun project for kids because they get to see the food grow and they get to have more connection with the food that they're eating, and it's kind of like little pets that you eat. That's how I think about it.
That's a really fun way of thinking about it.
So let's talk a little bit about the connection to food, because with your family's farming background, I can imagine that you have a lot of insight into that.
Yeah.
So how, I mean, what is your family's tradition with connecting to the food, and how have you noticed it's different from a regular, like the consumer that goes to the store and buys their food?
Well, my family's farm began as a farm where everything that was consumed on the farm was grown on the farm. So that was the environment that, you know, I was first exposed to as a child. So that is, I think, pretty different from what the average Canadian child is exposed to growing up. So I was pretty lucky in that sense. And I didn't know much differently until I started school and started seeing some, you know, other ways of life. And then, of course, as I grew up, I was exposed to more and more. And what I'm really excited about is what we've seen in the past, I want to say the past 5 years in Canada and across the world, is this this sense that people are reconnecting with the source of their food, and there's this resurgence of interest in gardening and in local food and in organic food, and people want to know who their farmer is and how. And I think that this is just beginning, and I think we're only going to and I think people to connect to really the source of food and life, which is seed.
Thank you. So how do you collect all those tiny little seeds?
Well, we sell about 50 types of seed for sprouting, and so it really varies. The growing in the heart with the business has outgrown our farm size a little bit, because we just have a pretty small organic farm here in Saskatchewan. So we source about 80% of our seed from neighboring organic farmers and other organic farmers in Saskatchewan, and then seeds that don't grow well in our climate, we source them from organic farms outside of the country. But of how the seeds are harvested, it really varies depending on what you're growing. So I grew up on our farm. We grew a lot of alfalfa seed, which was the big link to the sprouting seed world, because of course alfalfa is a very traditional sprout, and so that the process to raise alfalfa, we would bring these bees out to the field every summer and then harvest the seed in the fall. And then, for example, something like a sunflower seed is grown early in the spring, and then it's harvested late in the fall. If it's grown in Canada, the snow is usually on the ground, so the farmer's out in the field with snow on the ground, so it's a pretty interesting process as well. So,
wow.
Yeah, there's a great story behind every seed, and it's usually a different process for each one.
Cool. Well, I'm curious to know more about the hemp bags, because how I started is I started growing them in a jar, and so I had a clear glass jar with, and some of your seeds come with a little mesh screen that you can put over the jar.
Right.
So that you can get some starter kits, and it's only like $2 or $3 for the little starter kit, and then you can order one from your website. And so they put over in a bowl so that any water could drip out. And then I moved to the plastic sprouting trays because I wanted to make a lot more. And but how does the hemp bag work?
Well, the hemp bag's really nice, especially if you're wanting to grow large quantities of some of the shorter sprouts. So we have lots of customers who are growing, they're making, say, I had mentioned before, raw hummus. So they might be growing a lot of chickpeas, and they're sprouting them for 2 or 3 days until the little tail is emerging from that chickpea sprout. Lots of customers lots of sprouters who are growing wheat to bake with. And so the hemp bag is really, really good for those short sprouts. It does also work for the 5-day sprouts like alfalfa and broccoli. It doesn't let quite as much light through as you would get from, say, a jar. So you're not going to get quite as much green in it, which some people prefer more green and some people prefer less. I've spoken with sprouters who take these bags when they're traveling on the road. We have people who take them on their yearly canoe trips, and they sprout right as they are camping with their canoes. So it's pretty handy in that sense, and it's really diverse.
You can use again and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The hemp's a really, like, it's an unprocessed, it's a really heavy-duty hemp, so I haven't seen one wear out, but I'm sure that it could wear out.
Imagine they would kind of start to poke through some of the holes in the hemp. So how do you clean it out?
Well, when you're sprouting in a hemp bag, it's just that same process where you're soaking the seeds and rinsing them a couple of times a day. And when I'm sprouting in the hemp bag, I kind of toss the sprouts around a bit so they don't really get a chance to grow right into the hemp. But it's also it's fairly tightly woven, so you won't very often see the roots coming right through, but you could see that if you let them grow long enough, and then you could just really involves giving them a gentle pull out. But like I said, the hemp bag really shines if you're growing a lot of short sprouts from grains or from beans like lentils or chickpeas or kamut or wheat. It works really well for those.
And thanks, Lisa. When you were talking about that, like, why not just eat the seeds themselves or the chickpeas before they're growing? How does the growth process actually make? I mean, wouldn't the nutrients just already be in the seed?
The seed is dormant before it's sprouted. So it was in nature, it had all of its nutrients. And then once it's given those two other elements that it's been waiting for, which are generally a little bit of warmth and water, then it knows that it's time to grow into a plant. And that's when all of those stored nutrients emerge and we see the growth process. So we do see, you know, a huge increase in the nutrient capacity or the nutrient content of a small sprout as opposed to its seed form.
It's just like one of those things. I mean, do you actually understand the process of it? Because it makes really no sense to me. I just know that it's good.
Well, I mean, the mother plant, when it's forming a seed, that mother plant is storing all of its nutrients into the seed because it knows that's going to be the next generation of the plant. And so we have all of these stored nutrients that are dormant, and then again, when the sprouting process starts, without getting into too much detail, the nutrients, you know, they are much, much higher in the sprout than in the seeds. So I hope, does that make sense?
It sounds like it's just magic. It's the magic of nature,
yeah.
Of Mother Nature. I just love, I love the experience of sprouting. And so I'm so happy that you're on the show today and sharing your knowledge. And so what do you want to talk about next? Can we talk about some of the different things that are available on your website?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we've got, we really have a lot of seed that ranges from, you know, close to 50 types of seed that we sell for sprouting. And so it's interesting because we're always trying new seeds to see whether or not they'll make a nice sprout. And so we're always adding more seeds, and it's a really interesting field to work in, because it just the seeds that we sprout, the list just keeps growing, so it's really fun in that sample for free, because that's one of the reasons that that's one of the, you know, the founding principles of this business is we want sprouting, the nutrition of sprouting, to be accessible to everyone. So we don't want people to feel like they have to buy expensive equipment or that they have to buy books to do this in their kitchen. You know, we've really always moved forward on the principle that anyone can do this with an old mason jar and, you know, just a couple of tablespoons of seed, and that's all you need to get started. But of course, people, once they start doing it, they get really excited about it, and they want to learn more, and they want to try new processes, and they want to grow larger amounts. Like you said, you wanted to move from the jar up to a tray because you wanted to have more sprouts available. So that's why we do have some equipment available on our website, too, for people who are taking their sprouting to that next level.
Well, and thank you. I'm curious, actually, how big the large size tray is, because I got the stackable ones because I don't have a lot of room in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. But now, I mean, I eat so many sprouts that I feel like I want three large trays stacked on each other. So how big are the large trays compared to the small?
They're an 8x10 tray.
Okay. And that, so just, it comes, it's just one tray though, right?
Yeah. And you can stack them if you do want to add more to your system. But yeah, and the Sproutmaster tray that you're talking about is, there are really a lot of countertop sprouters out on the market, and I think that we've tested most or all of them. And this Sproutmaster tray is just the best quality across. We've been carrying it for years, and they grow everything. They're a really simple design, but they're really durable, and they just grow sprouts really well, and we don't run into some of the problems that we see with other countertop sprouters where you know, drip drains are clogging or sprouts just aren't growing well, this is we're really happy with that trait. So it's something we feel really proud to carry.
I really enjoy the one that I have. The only problem I have with it is I like being able to see in the glass jar, to see it growing, just like I look over on the counter and you can see it without having to lift off the tray. And also, you can grow them, like sometimes what I do is I will soak the seeds first in a jar and then put them in the tray. But with the tray, you don't even have to do that, right? You can just put them in and then rinse them. And they still grow.
Exactly.
Why do they not require soaking? I noticed that it seems like they grow more quickly if I soak them first, though.
Yeah, they do. But in a garden, you would never pre-soak your seeds before you put them in the garden. But by giving them that nice big soak, it's almost like they're getting a really nice skip it for most seeds, and they'll still grow.
Cool. And can we talk about, it's $3.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of nutrition is in that head of lettuce, but it's also not to mention the carbon footprint of shipping it up from California. But sprouts are far more economical.
They really are. And I think part of it, it's really, you know, it's in my mind, it's one of the most affordable ways that we can get a really, really highly nutritious produce, highly nutritious organic produce into our homes. So,
and Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or mostly, you do get some seeds from other places, like you said.
Yeah, seeds that can't grow well in our climate, yeah.
And so, is that listed on your website, like the source of the seeds, where they come from?
We're redoing our website right now, our web store, and we may be adding that. It does, sometimes it can change a little bit with, you know, say if we have a crop failure on a certain type of seed and we have to source it from a different location than we normally would. But it's definitely something that we likely will be adding in the future.
Wonderful.
But of course, we're always available, you know, via email if anybody has any questions about the source of seed, because we think it's so important that people, you know, are really aware and are asking questions about where their food comes from. So we really encourage that.
And you mentioned earlier in the hour that you just tablespoons?
Yeah.
Of the seeds. So let's talk about, you said
about a tablespoon and a half for a mason jar, and if you were to, about a tablespoon of seeds. So
I'm curious, and then so how much will fully grown sprout?
Well, I mean, again, that's thinking, we had been talking about the broccoli sprouts, and they're looking at getting that compound called sulforaphane to start getting the disease fighting properties from it.
Okay.
So they were saying to see those disease fighting properties, you'd only need to eat a couple of tablespoons of broccoli sprouts a day. But in my opinion, I mean, sprouts are so fantastic. I eat way more than a couple of tablespoons a day. But that was just kind of their minimum recommended in that one particular study.
Cool. And then, so, I mean, it works out to, I don't know, a little bag of the sandwich booster is something like $2 or $3.
Yeah.
And then out of that, you get 4 or 5 cups from one tablespoon. So, yeah. I mean, it's working out to pennies, really.
And I mean, like I said, that's for the small figure. Like, I'll use the example of a lentil, and you're just growing a little tail on that lentil. Instead of growing it for 5 days, you're growing it for 2 or 3 days. You'd use a little bit more seed. You don't quite yield as much sprout because it's not growing quite as long. So it depends on the size of the seed. But again, even with the lentils, it's you know, a really, really economical way to get nutritious food into your home.
And now I'm curious also if maybe I'm using too many seeds. I put in my small stackable ones, I take about 4 or 5 tablespoons to
per
fill.
Tray?
No, for all three.
In general, it depends. It would depend on what seed you're using, but in general, with the trays, my rule of thumb, I think for those three trays, I would say that somewhere in the range of 3 to 5 tablespoons.
Okay, so I'm doing okay.
Yep.
Yay! Awesome. awesome. You're so helpful. I'm so glad to have you on this show. If anyone else has a question, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. Right now, we're speaking with Lisa Mum. She is from Mum's Sprouting Seeds in Saskatchewan, and their website is sprouting.com. You can find lots of free information on the site, as well as being able to order seeds and just start out with a mason jar. It's super inexpensive. It's a lot of fun. It's a good fun project to do at home, especially if you have kids, but I love doing it as well. So if you want to get on the air and ask a question, 604-822-2487. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we will be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
What kind of cities do we want to live in? How do we want our cities to be? Cannot be divorced from the question of what kind of people we want to be.
Join me, your host, Andrew Longhurst, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. for The City, an hour dedicated to critical discussions of urban issues. Live on CITR 101.9 FM and CITR.ca. For more info, visit thecityfm.org.
Hi, my name's Matthew. When I first got back from a military tour in Afghanistan, any time I heard a siren or even a car alarm, I'd lose it completely. I would turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. People would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
For the past 7 years, Sled Island has delivered a hot, fresh, and saucy music and arts festival in Calgary, Alberta. In 2013, it's saucier than ever. From June 19th to 22nd, independent musical acts, visual artists, filmmakers, and comedians, including the CITR Showcase featuring White Lung, will frolic your amusement at over 30 venues. For more information on schedules, venues, ticket purchases, and more, visit www.sledisland.com. Sled Island is proudly sponsored by CITR.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking with Lisa Mum. She is from Mum's Sprouting Seeds. You can find them at sprouting.com. And I think you also have some of your sprouts available in retail locations around the country as well, right?
Yeah, we do. Yep. In Vancouver, we have seeds at Drive Organics, Kitsilano Natural Foods, the Soap Dispensary, and Yale Town Holistics.
Awesome. Thank you. I didn't have to look that up. That's awesome. So I really want to know, what do you feel is the most important thing that you want people to know today about sprouts and about what you do at Mum's Sprouts?
Well, I feel that the most important thing that we do is act as part of this community. It's a community of conscious-minded people who are, you know, concerned about where their food comes from, how it's grown. They're looking for organic food. They are, you know, conscious about eating locally when possible. They want to know their farmers. And so, to me, this movement that's happening in Canada and around the world is what makes me most excited to do what I do. We now see that, you know, a large number of Canadians are buying organic food on a weekly basis. I believe it's close to 70%, which is really exciting. So to have organic food in your kitchen, it's a really wonderful way to, it's an easy way to get highly nutritious food into your diet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so I'm curious, now when you go to the grocery store, there's alfalfa sprouts in the little plastic containers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any difference between growing them at home and buying them at the grocery store? Is there more benefit?
Well, there are sprout and microgreen growers. So lots of times when we go to the grocery store, if you see something that's labeled organic, it's most likely going to be a local sprout or microgreen grower who's growing using certified organic processes, using seed that's been grown organically. and they're going to be just growing it at a larger scale in a professional facility. Like I said, sprouting is really, really easy, but of course we're all stressed for time. So I wouldn't want to discourage anyone who's interested in sprouts from buying sprouts from the store.
One thing I do notice, like a project, I mean, it only takes a little bit of time each day, but you have to take care of them. Like, that's why I view them kind of like little pets.
Right.
Because you do have to check on them and rinse them twice a day. Although I've been forgetful lately and only been rinsing mine once a day, and they're still doing fine.
Yeah, and actually, if you go, I've gone away for the weekend, and I've had sprouts that were just in the middle of sprouting in a jar, and I've popped up, and I took that plastic off, and I just kept rinsing, and they were just fine. So, yeah, there are options. They do require attention. I mean, they do like to be rinsed a couple of times a day, but even really busy, really, really busy people can usually, once they have done it once and see how easy it is and how small of a time commitment it is, and they just make it part of their daily routine. It's a simple step.
It is, and it's satisfying to be able to get and eating fast food, right?
Right.
Yeah. No, I really just really appreciate the work that you do at Mom's Sprouting. I feel like it's probably making a difference in a lot of people's lives. Do you get a lot of testimonials and people emailing you?
Yeah, we really do. It's such a satisfying business to work in, because the stories that we hear, from people who, either didn't have acne, they hadn't had that chance to connect with their food source, or maybe they're in the process of recovering from a disease or illness, and sprouting has been part of that recovery process. So it's really, really satisfying in that sense. It's just wonderful to hear all the stories of people who have incorporated sprouts into their lives.
Awesome. Well, it's coming up just a few minutes before Chris Arific is in here with Parts Unknown here on CITR. We are speaking with Lisa Mum from Mum's Sprouting Seeds. You can find them at sprouting.com, and there's lots of videos as well on their YouTube page. Do you remember the name of your YouTube page?
Mum's Seeds.
Mum's Seeds. Awesome. And there's lots of tons and tons of free information, and you can order online or you can go to a store. There's also, you can find a list of retailers as well if you don't want to wait. But you guys actually ship really quickly though.
Yeah, we do our best. We're a pretty small family run company. So, sometimes it's a challenge to keep up with demand, but we definitely do our best to get the seeds on their way as fast as we can.
Awesome. And if you're really gung-ho and you want to get started, there's free shipping on orders over $25. But really, I mean, you can just get a little starter kit for a few dollars and put a jar together and be sprouting in just a few days as soon as it arrives in the mail.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you. And so, Lisa, is there anything that you want to add that I haven't asked about yet?
Well, I would just really stress that no one should be. I often talk to people who are surprised at shows or at demonstrations or workshops, and then I'm showing that literally all you need to get started is a jar and some seeds and some water. Everyone seems to be so surprised at how simple it is, and people at first will come up to me and they'll say, "Well, I don't have a green thumb and I don't think I can do this." And then when they see the simplicity of it, they're just intrigued. And so I would really, really encourage anyone, regardless of whether you've done any gardening or even if you don't normally cook at home, sprouting is even much easier than it's easier than going to the store and buying a head of lettuce, in my opinion. So
it's
something that everybody can do, and even kids. So
well, and that's the thing too about the ease of it. It's much more economical, and also when you think about it is a little bit more time consuming because you have to keep an eye on them for days. But if I go to the grocery store and buy a head of lettuce, I still have to wash it and put it in the fridge and make sure that it's stored and all of that, which takes, in my opinion, it's just as messy and just as inconvenient.
Right. Yeah. So. And you get the benefit when you're sprouting in your own kitchen of eating it, the sprouts at their very freshest point, whereas with lots of produce that it's been already in transit for days and then sitting on grocery shelves. When you're sprouting at home, you can literally eat it,
ask about the benefits of how fresh it is, because there is a loss of nutrients in transporting and having it sitting out in the artificial light and all of that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Studies show that we do lose nutrients the longer produce sits on shelves, which is pretty problematic considering how long lots of our produce is in transit. So it's wonderful to be able to have something growing in your kitchen and then to be eating it minutes or hours or days later.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I really appreciate your time and the work that you do.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yay, thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Take care.
Bye.
So that was Lisa Mum from Mum's Sprouting Seeds. And again, you can find them at sprouting.com. And I'm sure they're not the only sprout company. They're just the ones that I connected with at the Wellness Fair. And I've been ordering their sprouts for a while now and just really enjoying it. And as you can tell, I'm really enthusiastic about sprouting. It's fun. It's satisfying. It gives you a lot of nutrients. It's super economical. You're supporting the Canadian that involves. So, if you have the inclination, I totally let you give it. We talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and I want to send you lots and lots of love. Be well. Have a great week. Namaste.
ABC Short Film Makers, this 4th annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is now accepting entries until August 1st, so get those cameras rolling. The student recent grads and professional filmmakers can submit films and videos, and remember, the shorter the better. Last year, 29 short films were screened, and over $15,000 in prize we were awarded to BC filmmakers. For entering rules and submit online, please visit the Vancouver Short Film Festival at vsff.com.
Interested in producing a professional music video? No dough. Public Records is giving away grants of up to $5,000. Apply now through June 14th at publicrecords.org. Winners will have their video showcased on TELUS Optic TV and online.